ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
considering the devotee to be unnecessarily criticizing others.
Such a person who cannot appreciate the mercy of Vaishnavas should be neglected. Otherwise, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his cheating mentality will increase day by day. Ishvare tadahi neshu valisheshu vishaktucha prema maitri kripa peksha yakaroti samadhyama. An intermediate or second class devotee called Madhyam Bhakta offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agnastimaram Nasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurugritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svarupam Vidamayam Tadasi Svapasantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Viradhar Sivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this verse, the qualities of a Madhyam Bhakta, or a intermediate second class devotee of the Lord, are explained. As we described yesterday, second class doesn't mean second as in low class, but it means Uttam is topmost and Madhyama is second in the line. From the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can learn what is the position of the devotee of the Lord. Now, here, there's some words which are quite interesting in the word for word. Vishaktu, persons who are envious of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Many times, in many religious traditions, we have the notion that there is me and there is God. And besides that, there is nothing which really matters. Which means, I go to the temple, I worship the Lord, or to the mosque, or to the Gurudwar, or to the church, and I worship the Lord. And it's me and the Lord. And everybody else is simply a nuisance, is simply a disturbance in my life. Have you ever had that kind of a feeling yourself? Yes, of course, we have. Unless we are very advanced and we see everybody as the Lord's servant and the Lord part and parcel. We think, oh, like sometimes we're in India and there is, you know, 10 million people in the same place, in the same time. And we think like, why is everybody out here at the same time like me? Why do they all have the same idea? Why can't there be less people? Huh? But a devotee of the Lord doesn't see things in such a way. He thinks, oh, how wonderful. Everybody's out here to glorify the Lord, to hear about his pastime, to go to the temple. So he doesn't see it as a disturbance to himself, to his comfort. In fact, he thinks the more people, the merrier. The more people coming together and worshipping the Lord, the more wonderful it is. Now that is the difference. Because you put two materialists together, like you have the famous example from the Western, you know, when the two guys get into the town, and they say, you know, this town is only big enough for one of us. I know you don't watch any Western, but just to keep the story. You put two materialists in a room, there's going to be a fight. Why? Because I'm better, no, I'm better, no, I'm better. And constantly they're trying to prove how they're better. Because the body has a different mentality. He does not get into this competitive mode of who is better. In fact, Srimati Radharani's mood is, if there is another gopi who can make Krishna happy, let me go and serve her, and let me bring her to Krishna, so that Krishna can be happy. So, if we see that there is some other devotee who is doing wonderful service, we don't think, oh, how can I discredit him? How can I take away his glory? No. How can I serve this devotee? To learn from him and to get his mercy. Because that devotee is pleasing Krishna so much. Now, that's easier said than done sometimes. Because in the conditioned state, there is still enviousness. There is still the tendency to enjoy and to lord it over material nature. And that's why here, Ishatku is not just a person who's envious of the Lord, but is envious of the Lord's devotee. So both qualify in this category. Because sometimes we may think, oh, I'm not envious of the Lord. I understand. The Lord is great. The Lord is omnipotent. The Lord is everything. But what about my fellow neighbor who just got his new car, you know? His brand new Jaguar. Why does he deserve it? Why do all the bad people get all the good stuff? Huh? And all the good people have nothing. That's just not fair. Why is the Lord doing it like that? Huh? And in this way, we become envious. And even if that person is not a pure devotee, still, because you're envious of another living entity, we're degrading our mentality. And we're losing the ability to show mercy to that person. Because if I'm envious of you, and I think, wow, you got such a nice necklace, you know? And Uddhava has such wonderful necklace, and I want to have them. And every time I see you, I think like, oh, necklace. I can't think, oh, Uddhava, you know, he's my friend, or, you know, how are you doing? I just think, you have something which I want. And that ruins your ability to even just behave like a normal person. You can't. Because that person has something which you think you want. That destroys the ability for you to even have a normal human relationship. That's why there is so much anger and hatred and envy in this world. Because everybody thinks, oh, they all got the stuff and I don't have it. And I want to go out and get it. And I'm going to fight for it. And the other person says, no, I'm going to protect it. And I'm going to make sure you're not getting any of it. It's like you come to the border of so many countries and they're like, okay, what do you want? You know, like dogs. I was just in Bali and every house has 3 or 5 dogs, you know. So you walk by on the road, minding your own business, chanting Hare Krishna. There comes jumping out all those dogs, you know. This is my street corner, you know. Get lost. Don't step here. So they're like, how long are you going to stay here? What are you going to do here? What's your business? Who's going to come and steal our fruits and steal our country, or, you know? This whole mentality, this is cat and dog mentality. This is not, this is not the mentality of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is a person who is merciful towards all living entities, not just towards Guru. Oh, okay, Guru is pure devotee, so let me go and offer service and worship and do everything for the pleasure of Guru. And in the same time, we step on everybody else. It doesn't work. Guru is not impressed, Krishna is not impressed, and if you're honest, you're also not truly impressed by ourselves, if you're honest. So that's why we should start small. Not take it from the top, but we should start small. What about behaving like a cultured, civilized human being? Because sometimes we're talking about being so spiritual and being devotees, but we can't even greet our fellow neighbor. We can't even say hello. How are you? And that's quite shocking, isn't it? That's quite shocking. Because that's something which is like, you know, not very high cost. It's just, you know, being normal, considered. Of course, what's normal in one place is totally crazy in another place. Like in some places, we go up to people and say, hello, how are you? Hello, how are you doing? And they're like, get out of my place. What do you want? You have a problem. Why? Because, as it is explained here in the purport, the cheating mentality of such a person increases day by day. And even if you try to be nice to such a person, they will just try to bite you. They will just, like a snake, you feed it milk and bananas, it increases its venom and it just waits till it's got that chance where it can get you. Because that's the envious nature of a snake. Not everybody's like that. There's very few people. Most of the people, they are innocent. They are just misguided. They have their value structure all upside down, so they're bewildered. But if you take your time to actually talk to them and to show mercy to them, they will agree and they will become nice. So some people are to be avoided. So we cannot think that in the name of being the savior of the fallen, we can go out and we can just convert everybody. to Krishna consciousness. Because our potency may not just be in this way. The associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they had that potency. Because some of them, or most of them, they were completely pure, unalloyed devotees. If you got touched by the breeze which passed by such a devotee, you became Krishna conscious. Can you imagine that? Just if you're touched by the breeze. If you got embraced by one of the close associates of the Lord, you just became ecstatic. You just started jumping and dancing. So, that is unfortunately not our potency. But we can read the Shastra to appreciate that is possible. In our case, it is many times not yet that situation. So we have to follow the injunctions of the Shastra and follow the rules for a neophyte or for an intermediate devotee. So we should avoid the envious persons. And that is actually showing mercy by neglecting them. I have had the experience, unfortunately, but I have had the experience in my sankirtan, in my preaching and traveling activities, that sometimes, out of foolishness, out of arrogance and pride, I was thinking, oh, I can win this person over because I chant a good japa today and I'm one of the good guys, you know, and the Lord is on my side. It backfired and it just blew right in my face. And it's very painful experiences, you know. If you find yourself put down on the ground, or somebody attacks you, or attacks another devotee because of your foolishness, that is a very shocking experience. So usually what I found is the best way is you just avoid them. And after some time, you feel that if there is some static, if there is some tension, you just say, hello, have a nice day. Wonderful, nice to have met you. Take care, and you move on. And then they want to get after you and say, no, let's argue, come on, let's have this thing here. You just excuse yourself. And if it still persists, usually I just run 10 meters. And they're too lazy or too slow, you know. They think like, this is a coward, this is not a fight, you know. Let it go. You know. But if you don't do like that, you can get hurt. You can get punched. One time in Geneva, I was distributing books with another devotee. And we were both young and full of our own ego. So there was a guy, and he was very, you know, just very challenging kind of a person. But still kind of nice, but just wanted to steal a book, you know. And I just wouldn't let it go. So started to have an argument. And the other devotee also came, and we thought like, yeah, we can win this, you know. This is not a problem. And then he just went poof, poof, you know. And my jaw was hurting for 3 days, you know. So, and then he went off. And then another person came and said, no, he's the state champion for boxing, you know. Don't mess with this person. So, you're always smarter after. Another time, there were some youngsters, some hoodlums who were just, you know, loud and nasty, and they wanted to practically drive over me with the car, and they took off from the car park, and I was just not in a good mood, you know. So I fought back. I just banged my head on the windshield, you know, just to stick it back, you know, to them. And then it just went off. But the next day, another devotee was in that town. And he caught that devotee and tied him to a tree. And the police had to come and save him. Why? Because I was foolish. Because I was arrogant. See? So sometimes, you may get away with it because you're tall and you're strong or you're talkative or you're just a smart guy. But the next devotee, he may get hurt. So, the point of today's class is how to be an ambassador of goodwill. You've heard of ambassadors? You know, like people who work for the diplomatic service, if you're an ambassador to another country, you represent the country. In the same way, a devotee represents Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. So, when people see you out there, it doesn't matter whether you're dressed in dhoti or sari or in plain clothes, because people know that you're a devotee. They just know. It doesn't matter the dress, they know. For them, it's not just, you know, Joe Smith or, you know, this and that. It is the Hare Krishna. So it reflects on Prabhupada and on Krishna. They don't hold it against Joe Smith, but they hold it against the movement. Just like an ambassador. If an ambassador misbehaves, you hear about it very fast in the news. And it's not that that individual, but it reflects on that country. Everybody says, yeah, we all know they're arrogant, they're just a bunch of bastards, you know, like that. So in the same way, the devotee is an ambassador of Krishna and Prabhupada, and has to make sure that his behavior is exemplary of a gentleman or of a lady. And if we come up to that quality, to that standard, everybody will appreciate Krishna consciousness. Just like I went out yesterday with the boys to distribute some books out on the main sidewalk there, Gopal, the crossways. And although the place is quite fast, and there's so many people moving around, but the people are so receptive, they are so interested, they are so nice, and they're so appreciative of the Hare Krishna movement. And it's shocking. It's just unbelievable. Because if you have been to other parts of the world, you know, where people are cynical or negative or just indifferent, and here, it's just the most normal thing. So, people are very appreciative of the devotees. And why is that? Because you have worked for decades to build up your reputation. You have worked hard to give people the proper understanding of what Krishna consciousness is all about. So we should not gamble that reputation away just for the sake of our own pride or for the sake of making some money, or usually it's just because we're in a bad mood and we just don't care. And we just want to take it out on anybody and everybody. Yeah. Whether it be, you know, the door or the car or the dog or, you know, whoever. Just whatever gets in our way. So that's why it is stated here, this cheating mentality will increase continuously. So we have to avoid envious people. And in this way, we're showing mercy to them. Because otherwise, if they start committing offenses towards Vaishnavas, they will go to hell. There will be no chance for them to make spiritual progress. Just like Jagai and Madai. They were the most sinful, the most fallen. They were murderers, thieves, rapists, debauchees of the highest caliber, or of the lowest caliber, depending on how you want to see it. So, they were doing all horrible activities, but they had one good quality. They did not offend the Vaishnavas. Because they just didn't know what a Vaishnava was. They were just in a completely different kind of an activity. So, that was their great fortune. Of course, when they offended Lord Nityananda Prabhu or attacked him, Lord Chaitanya was there ready to kill him. But Nitai fell at his feet and said, Lord Chaitanya, if you kill them, you have to kill everybody. You have to wipe out everybody. They're all Jagais and Madhas. They're all sinful. And they did that out of foolishness. It was not premeditated. It was not that they, you know, planned, okay, today let's go and attack the Vaishnavas. No. There's a big distinction between premeditated and just, what do you call it?
Spontaneous,
yeah. Like if there is, you know, somebody gets killed, there's a fight and somebody gets killed, and, you know, or somebody goes and plans, I want to do this, you know. There's a big difference. Although the results might look the same, but it's a difference. In any case, yeah, Lord Chaitanya, he was still not convinced. He was still not moved. So then you can understand, you know, and then attacked him. Jagai or Madai? Who knows? Madai attacked him. So Lord Nityananda said, but you know, when Madai attacked me, Jagai wanted to stop him. And he actually, you know, he actually wanted to save me. And Lord Chaitanya started praising Jagai and increasing And he showed his child his mercy upon him. He became ecstatic. And the mother said, what about me? He's no better than me. Huh? Why is he getting the mercy and not me? Huh? That's not fair.
So they both got liberated by Lord Chaitanya's mercy.
But just to make the point, somebody who is offending the Vaishnavas cannot make any spiritual advancement. So if we give people the chance to offend Prabhupada or Prabhupada's books or the Vaishnavas, that's our foolishness. That's our fault. It's because we're not smart. So a lot of the times we just have to eat humble pie. And that's the ability, that's the intelligence of a preacher. That he knows when to insist, when to persist, when to go deeper, or when to just be respectful and move on. And that distinction, that distinguishing, ability to distinguish, that comes from chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. With great care and great attention and great determination. Because then Krishna, in your heart, will tell you, don't bother. This is not the one. Or this is the one. You better, you know, move on. Krishna will tell you in your heart. Because he's there in the heart of the living entity too. So he will tell you, exactly. Sometimes you're preaching to people, and you see they're not very impressed because there's no connection. So then, sometimes, have you ever noticed? You start saying things which you don't usually say, or things which you don't even know. Like sometimes I ask them, so how long have you been a vegetarian? And they go like, how do you know? Why do you know? Huh? Or we say, you know, you look quite spiritual. Are you on some spiritual path, some spiritual practice? How can you tell? It's in your eyes. It's because of your eyes. And it's not just a nice thing to say, you know, because you don't say it to everybody. But usually, they're completely blown away. They're like, okay, how much, you know? How much is this? Because you win them over. You take interest in them. In order to preach Krishna consciousness, to be a Madhyam Bhakta, you have to actually like the people. You can't go out there and show people mercy and work for their benefit unless you like them. If you have an aversion to people, then it's, you know, better you just go somewhere in a room and you do something. But don't be exposed to the public. Because it will bring out the worst in you. And that's not good. Because that, we shouldn't allow that to happen. So when we are an ambassador of goodwill and we are representing Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's movement, we should be always very cautious. Because people nowadays, they cannot see your great love and devotion in your heart. What do they see? They only see the surface. They only see the externals. And to them, that's very important. So that's why Srila Prabhupada taught us in a perfect way. He always was very respectful and very polite and gentle in his dealings with all living entities. And he was greatly appreciated by everyone because of that. So, in Bhagavad Gita it states, one who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine, is very dear to me. You want to become dear to Krishna? That's the way you have to do it. It's quite easy. It's not so fast, but Krishna has stated, you know. He for whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. So, you should try to have priorities. People will remember and tell others about the experience they had when meeting me. Therefore, I always do my best to leave everyone with a good impression. We all know that if people get a bad experience, then it takes so many good experiences to make up for that bad experience. But sometimes you meet people who had some devotee who misbehaved, and then it takes like 4 or 5 times of positive experience before they again, you know, become positive. So you have to hear them out, you have to treat them nice. It's a whole lot of work just because something happened someplace. So people remember. They remember. We remember the good things, but we also remember the bad things, our bad experiences. I'm sure all of you, during the mature world, you have so many bad experiences, you know, in the business world or in the service environment. So you tend to remember, I don't know, this gas station, huh? Something happened there, you know, 5 years ago. I'm not going to go there. Or it sticks in our head. In the same way, people will get that kind of a relationship with the devotees if they've had some negative experiences. So how can we counteract that? By always being kind and respectful. It's not that this is just a nice way of saying things and this is just, you know, our company policy, but in reality, you just do whatever works. No, this is what works. To be kind and to be respectful, this works. To be arrogant and proud doesn't work. Because Krishna will always send you that person who is a little bit more proud and a little bit more arrogant than you. And he will pick you up and he will put you down on the ground. And he will walk on you. And that's not a very nice experience. Because, you know, you just get all dusty and your ego gets bruised. And it will take you a while to get back up and to put yourself together. So if you don't want to be put down, don't be arrogant and proud. You see? It's just like if you're on the beach. I know none of you people go to the beach and nobody surfs. But if you go out there on the beach, if you happen to be out there on the beach, there is waves, right? So if you go out into the wave and you think, oh, I'm big and strong and I got one of them great Australian bodies and I got the right kind of gear, the right kind of shorts, the right kind of tattoo and tan, then the wave comes, and what happens? Huh? What do you call it? It's like you go into the washing machine. You get tumbled. Tumbled, yeah. And you look like a potato which has been half peeled. you get grated on the ground. Like you see the surfers sometimes, they're all, you know, bruised up like that. So that's what happens if we try to stand up to mature energy and think ourselves as very great and very proud. But the fish who has taken shelter of the ocean, a big wave comes, he goes right through. He's just taking shelter of the ocean. So many times when the wave comes, instead of trying to, you know, be big and great, you just have to be humble and go straight through. And, you know, you come up and the sun is shining and everything's fine. But don't you worry, the next wave is going to come. So you have to look out. Don't feel too great, you know, too happy about yourself. Another opportunity, if the waves are not too great, if it's just, you know, a little bit of wave, a little bit of material agitation and contamination, you just have to jump up. You just jump up, you know, and the wave just goes here and it's okay. So, you have to learn this art. Otherwise, we'll get tumbled and bruised. Don't concentrate on your personal results. Develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks to people you meet, live with, or associate with. It's like sometimes you meet people and they're just, you just see, they can't take the book. They just can't. They're just somewhere else. So then you can just write them off and say, okay, next one please. I'm just punching in my numbers here, you know. Another 150 people who say no, and then one person will say yes. Or you can change your attitude, your mentality. And you can tell that piece, that person, you can give that person some gratitude. You can say thank you for your time. It's like Vaisheshika Prabhu was distributing books, and he met this couple, young couple, and showed a book to them, and they said, no, we're Christians, we can't take this, you know, this is not our religion. And they wanted to leave. And he said, You're a Christian, that's wonderful. The world needs more people like you. Anyhow, thank you very much for your time. And so they walked off. And half an hour later, they came back. And they said, you know, we want to apologize. We were very, very rude to you. And we'd like to give a donation. Because the Lord in their heart, you know, the Lord is also in the heart of the Christian person, told them, hey, you know, you're a jerk. You should go back and make up, you know, for what just happened. And that happens on a daily basis. So it always pays off. Yeah, it always pays off to be respectful. So yesterday I had a person who looked very businesslike, but I saw he was just disturbed. Sometimes you see that he's disturbed, you know, this kind of, you see something is not right. The energies are not, you know, not 100%. So I'm like, are you in a 9-to-5 job? Are you feeling the anxiety? Or are you just mellow and relaxed? And he's like, everything is going wrong. Everything is going just in completely opposite. And I said, what is it? You know, the job, the life, this and that. He said, no, nothing matters. All that matters is God, you know. But I've lost my path. I've lost my focus. You know, I got sidetracked. You know, alcohol, drugs, this, that. I know it's about God, you know, but I'm lost. So I spoke with him, I heard him out, gave him some comfort. And in the beginning it was like, oh, I'm a Christian. And I said, great, you know, I was Catholic. So, you know, not a problem. And I'm a monk, you know, I live in India and I travel and share spiritual knowledge. And then, can you give a donation? Take the book. And yeah, he gave. And at the end he said, you know, this is a sign of God that I can make it, you know, that I'm back on my path. Because, frankly speaking, nothing else matters. You know, he's preaching to me. Yeah. Has it ever happened to you? People give you the Bhagavatam class, you know, right there on the street, and you're like, huh? Isn't it supposed to be the other way around, you know? I'm the one who's supposed to be doing the talking. But actually, we go out there, and Krishna speaks to you through the living entity. And that's wonderful. That's perfect. Because sometimes we're sitting in Bhagavatam class and you're all like, oh, my leg hurts and my knee hurts and what's there going to be for breakfast and, oh, it's getting codicy and, you know. And like that, you know. But if you're in a different environment and you get that parking attendant who starts preaching to you about Krishna consciousness, you're like taken by surprise. You're taken off guard. You wouldn't have thought. So you're, you know, your defense mechanism is not working. And it actually reaches your soul. And you actually realize, hey, if this person has the realization that it's all about Krishna, and everything else ultimately does not matter in the big scheme of things, then what's my petty problems? What's my problem? So, we meet these people, and Krishna is sending us those people. But sometimes he also sends us the people who are cynical, and we just have to avoid them. I'm going to give you the notes, so you don't have to write everything down. Remember, preaching means giving. Our movement is a movement of giving. In the material world, the attitude is, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? What can I get? What can I benefit? What's my profit? Okay? Free lunch, discount here, voucher there, this and that. Everybody's like, okay, they think there is something for nothing. But I got news for you. It doesn't exist. Free doesn't exist. Because it's all energy. It's all an exchange of energy. So even if you think, oh, I've got this for free. It's like people drive to the other side of town to get something for free. Was it free? They drive an hour to save $5. Was it free? No, it was damn stupid. They think, oh, there is a free lunch over there. Yeah, what about your indigestion? What about your health problems? Huh? Oh, all you can eat, you know, $4.99. Let me go and, you know, eat once a week. Then what? Your doctor's bills? Your health? Your mental attitude, oh, how much more can I pack on this plate, you know? Okay, if you eat prasadam, it's a slightly different story. But even there, as we go into the years, we can see that
You know, all you can eat is not exactly working for our kind of model, you know, for our machine. The only person who is all you can eat is Krishna and maybe Bhima, Bhima Sena, Prikodar. Anybody else, we're not born with an all you can eat body. It just doesn't work that way. So, very giving movement. We give people. And never think, oh, I'm giving so much, what about me? What would I get? Like yesterday we gave this example. If you give yourself to Krishna, Krishna will take care of you. Huh? You might not get a house on the beach and two cars and a big bank balance, but nobody ever said that that's the goal of life. You can be happy, you can be content in any situation, in any position. So, don't be condescending. Sometimes we think, oh, we're doing the right thing, and we're the good guys, God is on our side, and we declare our own little personal war on terrorism, which we're out there, so-called trying to preach, or so-called trying to convert other people. And what happens? People take it very badly. They really don't like it. So don't be condescending. Because, you know, the material world is a harsh place, and everybody is getting enough beaten around by Maya. So we don't need to make the material world a little bit more hard for other living entities. But rather, let us offer them some smile, some kind word, some gesture, some encouraging act, and they will feel like, hey, there is hope. There is an oasis in this desert, after all. I just happen to find it. Feel and express empathy. Now sometimes we just don't feel, we just don't give up, you know. We just couldn't care less. Because we're so absorbed in ourselves. And that happens to every one of us, even to the best. So what do you do then? Then you remember Prahlad Maharaj's example, who's saying he was in very troublesome condition. You know, his father tried to kill him. That's pretty drastic, isn't it? That's pretty heavy. You know, if your father, who you love and who you depend on, tries to kill you, that's pretty massive. Huh? But the Lord asked him, so what's your situation? And he said, for me, it's all good. But when I see these fools and rascals who are suffering in Mayasuka, I feel pain. I feel troubled. So please help them. Please deliver them. And if you can't feel like Palamara, then we should know. Srila Prabhupada, our guru, is feeling that way. So let me serve him. And in this way, this realization will also rub off on me eventually. It will take some time, but eventually it will rub off on me. This is our movement. We want to see that everyone is happy. That is the Vedic vision. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. This is human life. Human life means paropakara. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. To do others something auspicious. That is human life. By a lecture of Srila Prabhupada in Denver in 1975. So we should engage everyone appropriately and as completely as possible. And how do we do that? How do we show mercy to others? We always talk about that, be merciful, you know, show mercy to others. What? You go out and you say, here is some mercy, you know, or make a smile, or how do you show mercy to others? How do you do that in reality? Number one, we give prasadam. That's the real mercy. We give prasadam. And you can see here, because hundreds and thousands of plates of prasadam have been distributed, the people are so favorable. It's unbelievable. They are so receptive. Why? Because if I've been eating at your house, you know, for the last so many years, it does something to us, you know? It changes our relationship. That's why people who are envious, they say, no, I can't take this. I don't eat your food, you know. Because they know what happens, you know. They know what happens. That's what happens, exactly. So, by distributing prasadam, you destroy that enviousness. It just gets evaporated. They just don't have it anymore. Even if they try to be angry or envious or negative, they just don't have it in them anymore, you know. The teeth are gone.
There's no more bite. Offer kind words. Offer some words of praise. Everybody likes to hear that. Huh? Oh, you're looking quite extraordinary today. Is there a special occasion? Just give some compliments. It's a basic thing, but we forget it. We're very fast in criticizing, of course, because we have a very sophisticated system of perception and of fault finding and of criticizing. But how good are we at catching the positive things, of seeing things which are admirable? So, the teacher is offering kind words to all of the entities. Then we introduce the books. If something is favorable, we give them the book. As Prabhupada said, what do you with 5 minutes of preaching do? People will listen, they will forget. But if they have a book, they will read, and it will actually change their lives. So, even if you're not on the street distributing full time, you'll be in your job, you're in your own environment, you can always introduce the books. Why? Because sharing means caring. If you have something which you like, you share it with others. That is normal amongst friends. Oh, you know the latest, you know, the latest music song, or you know, I just read this in the paper, or did you see this movie, or did you go to that new restaurant, that, you know, that far off place down there? You know, it happens all the time. So it's not something, you know, odd. So we have to learn the art of sharing, giving people books. Teach them the Maha Mantra. Don't be scared. Don't think, you know, oh, when you're like, what is this? Is this, you know, religious, or where does this come from? And you're like, I know devotees used to distribute Krishna books and cover the title, you know, Krishna is the personality of God, because they felt odd, you know. If you go out there and they ask, what is this? Then you say, can't you read? You know, it says here, right in, you know, in 48 type face, right on the cover, you know, it says, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So what do you think it is? But you can always answer a question with a question. If the people are saying, is this religious? Then you say, well, what is religious? Or, do you think, does it look like religious? So you answer a question with a question. Instead of giving an answer, you just ask a question back. And in this way, you will then do the talking, and you direct the conversation. That is much more efficient. Teach them the Maha Mantra. When I distribute books at the end, sometimes tell people, so now, everything is said and done, you know, they have the book, they give them the money, the invitation card, it's all good, and you can just walk off. Or, you can put the icing on the cake, and you say, do you believe in the power of prayer? And most of the people, because most of the people are religious, they say yes. And then you say, okay, can you repeat after me? Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna
Krishna!
Krishna
Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama Rama!
Hare Hare!
And then when you see them walking down that street with that smile on that face, you know, Srila Prabhupada 1, Maya 0, you know? You know, huh? It's another score in the book. Then you've done your job. So, there's also a difference. Like yesterday you went on Harinam. You can go on Harinam, and you just go out there, and you know, don't look left and right, you know, my ladies out there, there's women, there's advertisements, there's billboards, there's shops, there's, you know, it's all demons, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you just go, you know? I see the end of the light of the tunnel. And people are not really connecting, you know, because it's just somebody doing something. But if you actually are chanting and dancing and connecting and looking people in the eyes, and you're actually a blissful devotee, all of a sudden everybody starts falling like, you know. Yeah, you can't help it, you know. Sometimes they're like, you know, they want to control themselves. The kids start jumping and dancing. And you have people, they just joined the Harinam. Yesterday, at least 30 people, they just came and joined the Harinam. Why? Because the devotees were, there's an exchange of energy. They were actually wanting to have an interaction with the people. You know, we're not just out there jamming and doing our own little thing because we're a cool band, you know. No, we go out there because we want to have an interaction with Krishna, with the holy name, and with the living entities. And that is actually making you happy. So there's a big difference. You see? Both is Harinam, but the result is completely opposite.
Avoid the envious.
We spoke about that in this verse. Give mercy to the innocent. That is what the Krishna conscious movement is all about. Invite and follow up with favorable people. And you'll meet that one, two, three, or five special people which you meet every day. Take their name. Say, oh, would you like to come for our Bhagavad Gita class, or would you like to come for a festival, or for a program, or for a seminar on this? You take their email, you take their name, you take their mobile number, and you put it in the database, and you actually invite these people. You follow up on them. And in this way, you're not just like a farmer who runs around his field just throwing seeds, and then forgetting about it, and it all turns into a jungle. But you're actually cultivating the field, and you're actually harvesting the fruits, and you're actually offering them to Krishna. So don't be scared. It's like here, I heard you have 10,000 people come for Janmashtami. That's like, whoa, it's like amazing. So don't think, oh, you know, if we continue doing like this, next time it's going to be 20,000, and I won't get any prasadam, and I won't get any spot to see Krishna. You know? So we better start seeing something mean here to scare some of these people off. No. Don't you worry, you know. Don't you worry, there will be enough prasadam, there will be enough space for you. So, an intermediate or second class devotee called Mani Madhikari, that is the verse, that is today's verse. It's stated right here, okay. We're in the service business. Our model is always better service. You know, people go and study hospitality, they go and study hotel management, they study structured courses for 4 or 5 years on this. And we're in this business. And we think, oh no, we don't have any time to learn and to study about this, because we're busy doing it. You know, in the usual industry, before you learn your job, you're not even allowed on the job. That's how it goes, you know. First you learn. Because otherwise, you start injuring people and you start injuring yourself. You're a hazard to society. You can't drive a car unless you've taken driver's lessons and passed the license, right? It's not like in some country where you just pay some money, you know, and all is good. You drive around the block and haribo. No, you have to actually show that you know how to drive a car in a way that is not a danger to society. So we think, oh no, we're too busy doing our work, doing our service, so we can't take a few days or a few hours off to learn about how to do it properly. If I tell you, you know, there's two different ways how to cut down a tree. Okay, we don't cut down trees. We're devotees. We like trees. We don't cut them down. But just in case, if you happen to have to cut down a tree, you can either take a saw and you can make it very sharp, or you can take a big club, you know, like a baseball club, like a stick, and if you beat on that tree for 2.5 years, I'm sure the tree will, you know, eventually will be down. You know, you might also be down. Tree will also be down. So which process do you want to take? And if you have 2 hours to cut down the tree, what are you going to do? You're just going to start hacking and sawing away? Or are you going to sharpen your saw? I think if you take care of your education and of your tools for the first at least 50% of the time, you'll do the job in no time. I mean, most of the jobs, most of the things which we're doing are preparation and execution. We usually skip the preparatory phase because we think I'm all prepared, you know, I was born ready, which is not exactly the case for most of us. So we have to get ourselves ready, and that's why we have to get up, take a shower, chant Hare Krishna, you know, come clean clothes, and be our nice, respectable, best human beings as possible. And then we are ready to actually teach and distribute Krishna consciousness. So, practice after performing your service. Review what you did to pinpoint the high points and to find where there is room for improvement. Everybody can do that on a personal level, on a day-to-day basis, or after some time. And to develop yourself that a well-rounded devotee practice parallel service. You don't just do one thing. Even Arjuna, who was a perfect archer, he was expert in so many things. Because if you're a king, you can't just do one thing. You have to do two things. In the same way, if you're a devotee, if you're preaching Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada wanted us all to learn how to worship deities, how to play an instrument, how to cook for Krishna, how to preach, how to give class. And I consider it a great deficiency that like in the last 25 years I haven't learned how to do puja for the Lord. I can do a guru puja, I can do a tulsi arti, but I haven't been on an altar. I know, but first I have to get the training.
So,
okay, I got my excuses, you know. I lived in a van for 15 years with a bunch of other guys traveling all over. But there is no excuse, you see. Because if you have the choice of being face to face with the Lord and seeing how the Lord lives and eats and, you know, performs his pastimes and not doing that, then you've got to do what it takes to get that opportunity, to have that association. And even if it means giving up your independent ways, even if it means having to surrender and ultimately to accept initiation from a guru and actually to stick it out and chant 16 rounds, because that's what it takes if you want to be the close servant and the close associate of the Lord. Everything counts, even or especially small things. So we should follow up with the people and make them feel special. And that is something which Srila Prabhupada was very, very expert at. He made everybody feel special. And that's why everybody who was touched by Srila Prabhupada still remembers it to this day. And sometimes you travel and you meet people who met Prabhupada, and they're not devotees, but it's just that experience is stuck in their life forever, because they met a pure devotee at one point, one instance. So we have the chance to meet Srila Prabhupada, to associate with Srila Prabhupada through the devotees and through his movement. We get the chance to meet Prabhupada out there on the street when we're preaching and distributing, because that's what Prabhupada was doing. He was going to Delhi from Vrindavan, on the hot streets of Delhi. How many of you have been to Delhi? In the summer, in the heat, it's hot, and it's polluted, and there's traffic, and Prabhupada was going, buying the paper, taking it to the printer, printing back to Godhead, printing his Bhagavatams, all by himself. He was an older Bengali sannyasi. So he was doing all that by himself. And here we are, young and strong and educated, and the books are ready, everything is done, we don't have to print anything. All we have to do is get dressed, get ready, and get out there. And you can meet Prabhupada out there on the street. So that's why I personally go and distribute books, and that's why I engage in preaching, because I know that I'm here, I see the Lord. But when I'm out there on the street, then I see the Lord's pastime manifest, how he's influencing living entities. So that is possible. So if you want to see the Panchatattva, if you want to see Lord Nityananda Prabhu in action, please go out and preach and show mercy to living entities. And you will see how their lives become touched, your lives will become touched, and everybody will become fortunate. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
People might have to tell me that they have to learn. That's not important because,
Even if nobody perceives what you're doing, you yourself are perceiving what you're doing. And even if nobody can catch you while you're doing your, you know, cutting corners and this and that, you can catch yourself. Because you know that Krishna knows. And he knows before you know it. He knows even before you have the desire to cut that corner. He knows, oh, is she going to do it again? Let me see. Let me see. And then, you know, after a while you get the drift. You know that Krishna is watching you, and then you start being more careful. And yes, very good point. Thank you for that.
It becomes more that way you become constant.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it. Now I'm going to turn that on. That way of behaving. That way you always behave that way.
But still, thank you for that. Still, sometimes we are a little lax. And you're a little, you know, we're slouching. We're just not up to the mark. And it just happens. And we're just not feeling 100%. But when we're actually out there and we're amongst people, if you're not feeling 100% and you're in your own room and you just say, okay, today is not my day, and it's just one of those days, it happens, then that's one thing. But if you actually go out there and you face the public, we have to be up to a certain quality. And we have to be extra careful and extra attentive. Not that it doesn't matter what we're doing in our own living room. It does matter to a great degree. But when we're actually out there facing the public, we can do a lot of harm. We can do a lot of negative activity, which we have seen. And so, but as you said, in all services, this goes for everything. This is not just a book distribution club, and it's because, you know, I'm sponsored by this company. No, but I'm just saying, this refers to all services. But thank you very much for your point.
Because also, the devotee is always looking for an opportunity to
speak, not just with the book. Yes. A devotee's life is preaching. And a devotee's life is giving mercy to other living entities. It doesn't matter, even if you don't have the books. It shouldn't happen, but, you know, you have to have the books. Because how does it make you feel when you're with that person and you just spend the last 10 minutes talking to that person and you want to give that person something special and you don't have the book? It makes you feel lousy, doesn't it? It's like I was on a plane down from Bali to Melbourne, and next to me was a policeman from Melbourne who just spent 6 months traveling there. In the States and in Bali, and he's very interested in spirituality, and I already thought, oh no, I don't have any books in me. But then I remembered I got this, you know, Initiation Through Wisdom, which I wanted to read, and I had it in my bag, so, ba-dam, the book was there, and he was so ecstatic to have that book. And Krishna puts these people, you don't know who you're going to be sitting next to, it's a plane. Or it's a bus, or it's a train. You don't know what's going to happen, but there is no chance. Krishna puts, and he tells his life story, and he opens up and shares and this and that, how he was shot at, and lost his faith in the forest because the people he convicted got again let free, and that's why he's now with the border police, and this and that, and family problems, and how he wants to do more spiritual activity, and get his focus and his strength together again. And then you know.
There is no chance. Krishna put that person right next to you, so you can give that person Krishna consciousness. Always have books. Small books, whatever. Always have books. Because when you're waiting in line at that bank or at that grocery store or at that post office, and the person right next to you or behind you starts, hey, are you one of those Hare Krishnas and this and that? And, you know, then yeah, sure, of course. At least have some invitation, but have some prasadam with you. Confirm. Always distribute prasadam. Because people will never forget it. And you don't bite the hand which feeds you. Confirm. It's just not, you know, something you do. If you're a, you know, unless you're a snake or a scorpion. So, in this way, you're doing the smart thing. You're destroying that enviousness, that animosity. And the people just don't have it in them. If you go to certain countries, to certain cities, I won't mention any names to make anybody feel embarrassed, but there is a certain meanness which is there in the culture. And people just feel good about talking derogatory, about talking cynical, about being aggressive. They just think that's cool, you know. But here, it gets destroyed by the prasadam distribution, by the harinam. People just don't have it in them to be nasty. You have the occasional drunk person and the occasional, you know, erratic, but that's normal. Any other points? We'll have a seminar at 10 o'clock about preaching and book distribution from 10 to 12. Everybody's welcome to attend. We're going to speak about the 7 habits of highly successful book distributors and how you can distribute books to please your spiritual master and Prabhupada, and a lot of practical questions and answer sessions. And at 4 o'clock or 4:30? At 4 o'clock today, this afternoon, there's also going to be a meeting and we're discussing different strategies how to distribute books through smart boxes, through book tables, through seminars, through workshops, through all kinds of strategies, because not everybody can just grab the books and stand out there on the street and go, you know, against the big stream of people. So there's a whole different set of strategies which we're going to discuss this afternoon. Thank you very much for your attention and your patience. All wishes to Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.